So it's basically another lesson in geography. That was the second lesson of the quarter, but we're going to go over geography again. Geography is very, very important in this quarter. And again, as you're teaching children, I think that's a handy thing that's kind of built in this quarter, is that there's a lot of pictures already built in. And for this class, basically what we're going to be doing today is setting up the tribal boundaries. So just by way of review, you'll remember there were five things I wanted you to remember based on Bob's three-cycle approach. Five things I wanted you to remember about this period of Bible history, the invasion and conquest. All right, you guys remember those five three things? Those five things that we were going to do, that we're going to remember. Let's all say them together. You ready? Central campaign, southern campaign, northern campaign, division of the land, and the eastern tribes go home. All right, good. So where we are now is at the division of the land. So last time we covered the northern campaign and the battles against the Canaanites, Amorites up in the north. And now they have gathered together. And actually some time has passed, and that's really how our text begins. So let's go ahead and look at how the text begins in Joshua chapter 13. And we're going to cover chapters 13 through 19 here this morning. Let's go to Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. So everybody has a copy of the map. So we're going to go through the boundaries. So what I'd like you to do is, if you have a pen or pencil, go ahead and fill in as we get to that map, and I'll call attention to it. Go ahead and fill in where the different tribes were in those boundaries. Need a pencil? All right. Anyone else need a pencil? All right. So the way this starts is the Lord says to Joshua, "You're old, well advanced in years, and there's a lot of land that's left to be taken." So wait a minute. We just went through the central campaign, the southern campaign, and the northern campaign. What else is there in the land? The central, the south, and the north, right? Why is there much land left to be taken? The thing to keep in mind is, and Freddie brought this out very well in the last class, is that they went in and they won key battles, took key cities, seized control of certain parts of the land, but God did not drive out all of the people who were already in the land all at once. And we're told He didn't do that so that the beast wouldn't come in and take over the land. So there was still much land left to be taken. I kind of get the idea that maybe at this point, basically we're maybe not so much here in chapter 13, but over in chapter 16, I kind of get the idea that maybe the Israelites, after these key battles were won, they perhaps got a little lackadaisical and not as determined to go in and take the land. I'll show you why I think that here in just a little bit. But here, one of the things that Freddie pointed out also last time is that a good bit of time has passed. We come in with, you know, they cross the Jordan, they take, you know, the circumcision at Gilgal, they take Jericho, they go up, they take Bethel and Ai, they move to the south, take Hebron and the tribes there, to the cities to the south, go up to the north, some key battles up there at Hazor and other places to the north. But time does pass through this, and I think this passage brings that out, that Joshua's old and there's much land left to be taken. So about how old was Joshua? We don't know exactly. I'll go ahead and clear that up right now. I can't tell you exactly how old Joshua was at this point. But this will give us some idea about how much time has passed during this. So turn over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 24 and verse 29 I have cited here on the slide. That simply tells us how old Joshua was when he died. Does anyone know that number off the top of their head? Joshua was 110. When he died. Okay? He was 110 when he died. All right? So I'm going to guess, based on what we read about in chapter 14, 7 through 10, that let's look at chapter 14. One thing the Bible doesn't really tell us is the age difference between Joshua and Caleb. We don't know that. Not that I'm aware of. If someone knows that passage, that would help to pin this down maybe a little more accurately. But if you look at chapter 14, verses 7 through 10, this is where, and we'll cover this a little later, this is where Caleb goes and requests his portion of the land. So in verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. So you remember when that was? Last quarter? So maybe you weren't in here last quarter. But last quarter, they were at Kadesh Barnea to go and spy out the land. Now, how long from the time they spied out the land until they crossed the Jordan? Yeah, 40 years roughly. Probably, I guess, maybe 38. Because I think that 40 years counts all the way back to the time they were in Egypt. Yeah, so 38 years, 40 years roughly. And then look at verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive as He said. And you remember that story, right? About everyone was going to die in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. Okay? And He's kept me alive these 45 years ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. So anywhere from 5 to 7 years have passed from the crossing of the Jordan to this point right here where we're dividing up the land. Is my math about right there? 5 to 7 years? So Joshua died when he was 110, and I don't get the idea that there's just a whole ton of time that passes between now and the end of the book. So I'm guessing he was somewhere between 90 and 100 years old. That's just a guess. Okay? And I definitely entertain someone else's educated guess. But timing is one of those things that is kind of interesting to me. And there are often times in the Bible pieces that you can put together and come up with, you know, about how long certain events took. So the conquest of the land, 7 years, 5 to 7 years, and then the division of the land. And I do get the idea that some time passes between chapters 13, 14, and 15, beginning at chapter 18. I get the idea that some time passes there between 17 and 18. I get the idea that some time passes. So the land left to be taken is listed here specifically in chapter 13. And there are, at the beginning of chapter 13, and really what's listed there is the land of the Philistines. Anyone remember where the Philistines were? If I just kind of draw my classic sloping coastline, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea. Be able to do that. Okay, maybe be able to do that better than I can, but be able to do that, right? So the Philistines were where? Yeah, right here. Yeah, southwestern. Very good. So right here, the Philistines. So he lists some of those. Anyone remember where the Geshurites were? They're mentioned here, the Geshurites. So the Geshurites were right in this area here. Okay, just right along the southwest coast of the Sea of Galilee. It's where the Geshurites were, I believe. And then also it mentions the Phoenician plain, which is up here to the north, Tyre and Sidon. So those were the lands that were left to be taken. And really, they didn't do a good job of driving those folks out. Because who was one of David's chief enemies? Philistines, right? Philistines. Down here. Okay? And we're going to see that pattern a little bit as we go through the class this morning. There were two and a half tribes, and this is covered in chapter 13, that received their land on the east side of the Jordan. Who were those two and a half tribes? Yeah, Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh. One thing Bob brings this out in his book, and I think it's a good point, never ever get confused about half tribe of Manasseh. And don't think that, okay, the sons of Joseph were Ephraim and Manasseh, so the half tribe of Manasseh was the half of Joseph's inheritance, and the half tribe of Ephraim was the other half of Joseph's inheritance. Not at all what the Bible teaches. We call it the half tribe of Manasseh. Why? Because they're on different sides of the Jordan, right? So the sons of Maker, Manasseh's son, Maker, received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. Okay? And then the rest of the tribes of Manasseh received their inheritance over on the west side of the Jordan. Okay? So that's why we call it the half tribe of Manasseh, half on the east side and the other half on the west side. And then, so Joseph, in that blessing given by Jacob, I believe that's back in Genesis 48, Joseph was given a double portion. So each of Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, received a full portion. Okay? So Manasseh was not a half tribe and Ephraim, the other half tribe. Okay? That's not it at all. So don't get confused by that. They each received a full portion of the land. And actually, as we'll see in this class, a significant portion of the land, particularly Manasseh, but Ephraim, while their land wasn't huge, particularly in comparison to Judah or Reuben or Gad, really, Gad and Manasseh, it wasn't large. It was among the best part of the land, right there in the center of the hill country, some of the best land that was available in the land of Canaan. All right, so we go through chapter 13 and we list the geographical boundaries of the tribes on the east side of the Jordan. So we've got 9.5 tribes on the west, 2.5 on the east. So let's look at first, before we do that, let's general discussion about boundaries. You know, as we were driving yesterday on our way home from my sister's house, who lives in Tennessee. There's a nice little section along that lives in eastern Tennessee. If you've ever driven Interstate 24 towards Chattanooga, right? You go out of Tennessee, you go into Georgia, and then you go back into Tennessee. And then when you catch 72, you'll go back into Alabama like that. And it's just real clearly defined, right? And not so much in these days, right? We know exactly where the boundaries are, where, you know, when you cross from one state to another, when you cross from one country to another. If you've ever been up to Canada, you know exactly when you cross the border. And there are no real ambiguities at all about that. Wasn't so much the case here. The boundaries were not, they didn't have signs set up as you're leaving now the tribe of Ephraim and going into the tribe of Manasseh now. It wasn't quite that way. But there were some general boundaries that were given. And one of the things that makes it so difficult to nail down exactly where these boundaries are is that some of the cities mentioned no longer exist. Don't know where those cities were. And the cities are used, that, you know, it goes from here towards this city. And who knows where those cities are? Some of the cities have changed their names over time. Some cities, I think Gilgal is an example. Maybe there were two Gilgals. Maybe there were two Hazors. Maybe there were two, you know, a number of these cities were that there were multiple cities by the same name. So it's real hard to nail this down exactly. And then some of the boundaries are going to refer to landmarks that no longer exist. There's mention of a brook that divided Manasseh and Ephraim. Kind of hard to know exactly where that brook was in those days. And then if you'll notice Joshua 19 and verse 33, it mentions an oak tree or a terebinth tree. I'm kind of guessing that terebinth tree is not there anymore. Just a guess on that. I don't know exactly how long oak trees live, but I don't think it's in the thousands of years. So you see what I'm getting at. It is really hard to nail these boundaries down exactly. So, and I think probably that's something you can point out to the children, that what we have, you know, in these boundaries, these are not exact, but it is very important to understand where each tribe settled, and we can nail down the general part of the land where each tribe settled and what part of the land was given to each tribe. That's easy to do because there are enough landmarks that we can identify in the text that describes the boundaries. All right. So on the east side of the Jordan, so 2.5 eastern tribes, Moses has given them their land. Then, just kind of an overview of what we're going to cover. The 2.5 tribes, Moses gave them their land. And you'll remember that story, I believe, is Numbers chapter 32. And then Judah and Joseph's sons receive their allotment. They meet with Joshua there at Gilgal. And that's where they receive their allotment of the land. And it's divided up by lot. So Judah and Joseph's sons, so that'd be Ephraim and the other half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember, the Maker's sons have already received their land on the east side of the Jordan from Moses. Then, the text says, beginning in chapter 18, that the whole congregation comes together at Shiloh. And again, I get the feeling that some time passes between this event and this event. But the whole congregation comes together at Shiloh. So it didn't all happen at one place, this division of the land. Judah and Joseph at Gilgal, the other seven tribes at Shiloh. My mind went blank. Shiloh. And then Joshua rebukes the seven tribes for not doing more to receive their inheritance. You can see that in Joshua 18, verses 1 through 3. Verse 3, I think, is the key there of Joshua 18. Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" So I think there's a rebuke there for some neglect on the children of Israel's part. All right, here's a kind of a view of the land. So what I want to look at on this map particularly is the east side. Okay? The east side of the Jordan. If you look in Joshua 13 and notice verse 9, and this is talking about the boundaries of the Reubenites, verse 8. Okay, the Reubenites. And so from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon. Okay, the bank of the river Arnon. You'll remember the Arnon, if you can remember the rivers that kind of flow in, you know, you've got the Zered that flows into the south side of the Dead Sea, the Arnon that flows into the middle of the Dead Sea, then the Jabbok that flows in right here, and then the Yarmouk just south of the Sea of Galilee. Okay, Yarmouk, Jabbok, Arnon, Zered, right? So it's on the bank of the Arnon River. There's a city called Aroer, right? And that marks the southern boundary of Reuben. Now, why did they not get the land south of that and on south of the Dead Sea? Why did they not get that land? Does anyone know? Yes. God told them they couldn't because the people who were in that land were kin to them. Who were those people? The Moabites just to the south of the Arnon River, okay? And then south of the Dead Sea were the people of Edom. Okay? They were not to take their land from them. God had given them that land. They were kinsmen. And then as you go over to the east, okay, the boundary on the east side were the people of the Ammonites. Okay, again, a group of people that God had given an allotment of land and did not allow Israel to take that land from them. All right? So Reuben had the Arnon River north up to the slopes of Pisgah, it says. So up really about to Reuben's land went about even with the Dead Sea. So you could go ahead and fill that in on your map, right? That little block there would be Reuben on the east side of the Jordan, beginning at the Arnon River, going up to just about even with the Dead Sea. Maybe a little north of the Dead Sea, that's Reuben. Then as you continue north on the east side, okay, this is the tribe of Gad, all right? The tribe of Gad. And Gad's territory really is mentioned as going up almost to the Yarmouk River. Okay? Almost to the Yarmouk River. The thing that the Bible kind of notes as the boundaries of Gad, if you look over in chapter 13, 24 and following, look at verse 26. Okay, from Heshbon to Ramoth, Mizpah, and so forth. So, Heshbon. Does anyone remember anything about Heshbon from last quarter? Heshbon. Who reigned in Heshbon? City of Heshbon. And the city of Heshbon is not on this map, but it would have been right here, just about with the Jabbok River and Jordan Plateau. That's about where Heshbon would be. Remember who ruled in Heshbon? Sihon. Does that ring a bell? Sihon was the king of the Amorites there in Heshbon. So Sihon's kingdom was basically from the Yarmouk River to the Arnon River. That was Sihon's kingdom. And obviously, Gad didn't get all of that because Reuben got a portion of that from the Arnon really up to, you know, the slopes of Pisgah. So that would be Reuben's territory. And Gad was given basically the rest of that. Heshbon is actually listed as being, you know, both tribes. It's mentioned in the boundaries of both tribes. They're both Reuben and Gad. And the other thing is, one thing on the map I gave you, I kind of show that the Gad, there's no dotted line on that map I gave you. And I think based on, if you look at verse, I lost it. I had it here just a moment ago. verse 27. Okay, as far as the edge of the Sea of Chinnereth. Do you see that? Listing the boundaries of Gad. So I on that map I gave you, the boundary kind of goes Yarmouth. And I don't really have that. But I think probably a good idea would be to draw a little dotted line. Finish that dotted line. You see how the Yarmouth River goes there? Do you see that on your map? You see that Yarmouth River there? And that kind of draw a dotted line to the southeastern edge of the Sea of Galilee. And I base that on, you know, verse 27 there, chapter 13. And that, because that's clearly listed. That's a landmark we can identify, right? We know where the Sea of Galilee is and was. Okay, so maybe a little dotted line there to give them that section of land. And then to the north would have been the other half-tribe of Manasseh. And that's mentioned as having all of Og's kingdom. I'll hang this up here. So Og, king of Bashan. And so Bashan was basically the Yarmouth River north up to Mount Hermon, would be the northern boundary. So that's the east side. Any questions about that? Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh. Which half of Manasseh? Which half? I mentioned it. Maker's sons. Okay, Maker's sons. Good. Yeah, you know, that's a good idea, Freddie. Why don't you go ahead and list these rivers? Because the rivers do make very good marking points. All right, so this river that flows into the Jordan, right? Everybody knows the Jordan River, right? Do we even have to label that? Probably not. You probably just know the Jordan River. Okay, and the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea and then Lake Cula, right? So the Yarmouth River is that one, the northernmost, that flows in just south of the Sea of Galilee. The Jabbok River is that one about midway, and that's the Jabbok River. The Arnon River is the one that flows right into the east coast of the Dead Sea. And then the Zered River is the one that flows into the south edge of the Dead Sea. Okay? So definitely use those rivers as markers. I use them as markers even for things on the west side of the Jordan. Okay? Because I know where those rivers are, and I can find cities on the west side. So those rivers are very good landmarks. That's a good idea, Freddie. I appreciate that. All right. So the boundaries. The next thing that happens here after the listing of that, it's mentioned a few times through here that at least three different times it's mentioned that the children of Levi didn't get an inheritance. Their cities were their inheritance. The priesthood was their inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, verse 33 says. And that's mentioned a few times, verse 14, verse 33. And it comes up again and again. So I think that's an important point. You're not going to see Levi listed here, but rather they're going to, the Lord is their inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord made by fire are their inheritance. All right, so the next thing that happens is Caleb. Now, what tribe was Caleb from? Do you remember? Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Okay? Tribe of Judah. And what tribe was Joshua from? Do you remember? Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. So Caleb is from Judah. Joshua is from Ephraim. All right. So they're going to get special treatment in this division of the land. Caleb comes and asks, and basically he says, the Lord promised me that I could have the land that I walked on as I was spying out the land. So that happened to be the city of Hebron. All right? So Hebron. How do I find Hebron? The way I find Hebron is I use the Dead Sea as my marker. Okay? And I say about smack in the middle, right? North and south of the Dead Sea. And about a third of the way over to the Mediterranean Sea, that's Hebron. So that area was Caleb's, the land of Hebron there. The city of Hebron was Caleb's. And it's also, there are two names for Hebron that are given there. Okay, Kiriath Arba. And Arba, because that was the father of the giants or the Anakim. Okay, so Kiriath Arba. And also Hebron. And back in Abraham's day, Hebron was also called the Oaks of Mamre. So just kind of three names for the city of Hebron. If you see those interchangeably throughout the history of the Old Testament. Hebron, Kiriath Arba. And that was Caleb's land. then the rest of Judah. Look at the boundaries for the rest of Judah. Have that. Yeah, key boundaries for Judah. On the east side, you had the Salt Sea. On the west side, you had the sea. The Bible says the sea, so we know which sea they're talking about, right? The Mediterranean, the Great Sea. Then the wilderness of Zin to the south. And then it was south of Jerusalem. Okay, Jerusalem was not included in Judah's original inheritance. And then the river of Egypt, which was a little brook that kind of flowed into the... it's not the Nile River. Don't get confused there. Okay? It was a little brook that flowed in kind of on the northern boundary of Egypt there. And some key cities in Judah were Hebron. I've showed you where that is. Ekron's on the towards Philistia, maybe not quite to the coast. En-Gedi is almost smack in the middle of the Dead Sea, right on the coast of the Dead Sea is where En-Gedi. Kiriath-Jearim is just kind of east of Jerusalem. And then Ashdod and Gaza, these are two Philistine cities on the plain of Philistia. Key cities in Judah. Look at Joshua 15 and verse 63. And we're going to see this two more times. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. Now the border of Jerusalem was, or border of Judah was just south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was technically in Benjamin's territory, but Israel didn't control that until much later when David took that city. Okay? So Jerusalem, they couldn't drive them out. Okay? Because God was limited? No, because the Bible doesn't say specifically, but I kind of take it based on the tenor of the text, particularly in chapter 18. They just didn't go do it. They just didn't. Perhaps a lack of desire on their part. Don't know exactly, but they just didn't go and drive them out. This is the key boundaries for Judah, and we can blow that up and kind of All right. So here's Judah. So the wilderness of Zin kind of went along this way. The river of Egypt would have flowed into the Great Sea over here. You can see Gaza, Ashdod. These are Philistine cities. They never really took those, even in David's day. Hebron here. You can see Jerusalem's kind of in Benjamin's territory. Kiriath-Jearim would have been just east. So in the territory of Judah there. So you can write that on your map. There's Judah. Okay, that southern, on the east side, that southern portion is Judah. You can also see Simeon. We'll get to that a little bit later on. It went really all the way down to all the way down to Kadesh Barnea, that oasis there in the south country. So lots of land there in Judah. All right, Ephraim is who comes next. Remember Judah and Joseph at Gilgal? So Ephraim is next. Before we do that, though, I'm missing a story. I know I'm missing a story that happens here. And it is dealing with Caleb in chapter 15. Caleb, he's given that area around Hebron. And he said, whoever attacks, verse 16, whoever attacks Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife. So Othniel, keep in mind Othniel, right? We're going to meet him a little bit later, okay? In the Judges. This is the same Othniel. And he was the nephew of Caleb. Okay? So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and Othniel gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Okay? And she persuaded Othniel to ask Caleb for a field. Okay? And so that was given to her, to him. The land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her upper springs and the lower springs. So they had that land in the south, and then they would have needed some wells to go with that. So Caleb gave that to Othniel and his daughter Aksa. Okay? Those were married. All right, so the boundaries of Joseph. Ephraim first. On the west, we have Beth Horon and Gezer are a couple of cities. We're not really given landmarks, but these are cities that a good Bible atlas is going to have good estimates for where these two cities were. On the east, the eastern boundary of Ephraim was the Jordan River. So it went over to the Jordan River. Some key cities were Shiloh and Beth Horon, one of the boundary cities. And again, look at Joshua chapter 16 and verse 10. And they did not, this is talking about the Ephraimites, and they did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day and have become forced laborers. Okay? So they didn't drive them out, which was what was commanded of them to do. Okay? Let's look a little closer at the boundaries of Ephraim. So here's the Jordan River you see flowing in. So it starts at the Jordan River. It goes over. Those two cities, Beth Horon, would have been right in this area, Beth Horon. You can see Dan right there. So Ephraim didn't go all the way to the Great Sea. Okay? Dan was given an inheritance over there just to the west of Ephraim. Beth Horon and Gezer are cities about right here. And that's the hill country. You see, it's kind of a small inheritance, but Shiloh is a key city there. Okay? Bethel is kind of on the border of Benjamin and Ephraim. But that's choice land that Ephraim has. Then the boundaries of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Take a look at that. The brook Kana on the south. Again, that's one of those brooks that I said, don't know exactly where that was. Kind of get a good guess on it. Then the boundaries are listed in the text as Asher and Issachar. Okay? So we're going to, a little bit later, we'll get into the boundaries of Issachar and Asher on the north. Okay, the Jordan River on the east, the sea. So Manasseh's territory, large territory. Even though they had that large territory on the east side, they also have a large territory on the west side. It went all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Some cities were Shechem. So if you remember where Shechem is, just about even with the Jabbok River, right? In the hill country. And that went all the way up to Megiddo. Does anyone know where Megiddo is? Megiddo happens to be in the valley of Jezreel. So that's a sizable portion of the land that they had. Beth Shan is another city. Joshua 17:12. When something's repeated three times in three chapters, I tend to want to take note of that. So Joshua 17 and verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened... When the children of Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Recurring theme among Judah and Joseph's sons. So a closer look at the geography of Manasseh. So the plain of Sharon. Here's Megiddo and that valley of Jezreel that kind of stretches from Mount Carmel over to the Jordan River. Okay. So here's Shechem here in the city. So large land. Large section of land. In spite of that, Manasseh has that large land on the east and the west side of the Jordan. Ephraim has some of the best land there. In spite of that, they complain. They say, we didn't get enough. It's basically what they say to Joshua there at the close of chapter 17. Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit since we are a great people? They're complaining about that. Joshua, very interesting, as all good leaders do, when someone complains, he turns it around on them and says, do something about it. That's basically what Joshua says. They complain, and what, the hill country, it's all wooded. It's all wooded, and we're a great people. Why didn't we get that? If you're a great people, go and drive the people out of the land, take it, and go and cut down the trees in the hill country. If you're a great people, go do that and make that your land. So very interesting response that Joshua has to the sons of Joseph. Verse 18, although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites. Though they have iron chariots and are strong, that was another complaint. They have iron chariots, what are we going to do? What? They have iron chariots, you say you're a great people, but you're complaining because the people in the land have iron chariots. If you're a great people, drive them out. Cut down the trees. Make that land your own. So a very fascinating story there to me. All right. So once that happens, those are the tribes of Judah and Joseph. And the text spends much more time. That's why I spent much more time on those. And then the rest of it really happens in two small chapters, the rest of the boundaries there. So the remaining tribes, they go to Shiloh. And again, Joshua rebukes them for not having done more already. To take the tribes of the land, or take the land that God had given them. So Benjamin, was given the land just between Judah and Ephraim. So Benjamin was kind of a buffer zone. And eventually, though there was some rivalry between Judah and Benjamin, eventually Benjamin was loyal to Judah when the kingdom divides later on. Okay? Simeon was within Judah. And really, Simeon, it was within Judah and the cities there way to the south. And Simeon basically lost its identity as a tribe very shortly after. Just almost unidentifiable as a tribe shortly after this time. Then Zebulun was just to the north of Manasseh. The Manasseh on the west side of the Jordan. Zebulun was just north of there. And it was just between the southern edges of Naphtali and Asher. So Naphtali and Asher up in the north, and then Zebulun was in between on the south side. So Asher was along the plain of Phoenicia. And this is the order they're listed here in the text. Okay, Asher was along the plain of Phoenicia. So the Phoenician plains there along the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And Naphtali was parallel, but it was along the Jordan instead of along the sea. And then Dan was west of Benjamin and Ephraim, but they migrated up to Laish. And we'll catch that story in the book of Judges. So here's a look of that at that blown up. So Zebulun is that small circle there in the middle. Asher here. Naphtali along the Jordan River, there the Sea of Galilee as its border, and then Issachar down here just to the north of, and this would be Manasseh as you go south. That's the division of the land. That's it. Questions, comments? Yep. And Caleb did. The text points out that Caleb did drive out the inhabitants of those cities that he was given. That's a very good point. Very good point. Yeah. Good. Thank you all for your attention.